Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, we've got Aki and Jacob. How are you two doing?
Great.
I mean, I'm here. I'm alive.
Okay, time's up. We have an important person here. Bree's here. Yay.
Yay. Hi.
Yay.
Someone we actually like. Yay.
Woo.
Yeah. It's like, well, Brooke's here.
I
like here.
You guys, too. I'm so sorry. You have such bad taste, Bree.
Yeah. Well, today's a special episode.
Oh, are we going to learn about drugs?
No.
Is tonight's very special episode about kidnapping or something like that?
Probably.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, I didn't know, because, you know, very special episode.
I mean, your family still hasn't surprise.
Got you this time, sucker. No, it's my birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Happy birthday. I am officially 42 in about 4 hours.
I was about to say, like, because, like, as you're like, hey, it's my birthday, blah, 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 I'm like looking at the clock and I'm like, wait a second, no, it's not. And then
for purposes, it's my goddamn birthday. Shut the fuck up.
I know. The magic of podcasts.
Yeah.
Magic.
Shut your whore mouth. So how's everyone doing?
Pretty good.
I'm still trying to shove food in my mouth in between bits of conversation here. So. Ooh,
what'd you get?
What kind of food? Nay, I have to talk about it now.
Well, I was in a hurry because, you know, I was invited to, you know, come hang out with you guys, and I realized I had to run to the pharmacy anyway. So I went and I grabbed Burger King, and I'm eating an original chicken sandwich, which was cooked very fresh. So it's both crispy and juicy, and the lettuce feathers is nice and crisp. And there's a Hershey's pie here for me.
So,
I don't know what that is, but that sounds delicious.
You don't know what a Hershey pie is from Burger King?
No, I've never even heard of that.
Aki's only had a Hershey.
Are you sure you've eaten at Burger King before?
Yeah, I think. They're the ones with Whoppers, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, then yes.
Okay, next time you go to one, ask for the Hershey chocolate pie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Man, I made a solid poop joke and nobody said anything.
I didn't hear you.
So I actually made a cat toy for Teak that looks like the Hershey's pie.
Ooh.
Yeah, I have a very cute picture of her, like, this is my pie. Of course, it's filled with catnip, so, you know.
Nice.
You know, you're going to have to send that picture so we could use it for the episode, right?
I will go dig it up when I'm finished shoving this food in my mouth. I'm going to mute now while you guys talk.
No, we need to hear it all.
No, we don't.
No, I'm good. Thanks.
Yes, we only need Jacob huffing and drooling on the show. So should we chat about our weeks a little more? Or do you want to get into the topic of discussion for the episode? What would you two like to do?
Wait, what's the topic for this week?
Achievements.
Yeah, Joe had an article written about him. It's fantastic.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
What happened?
Let's talk about that.
All right, hold on. So I talk to this fat bastard like every single day, and he has an article written about him, and it never once came up in conversation.
No, it's not about me. It's
kind of is. Come on now.
It's because of me.
What did you do?
So you read True Achievements, right?
Yeah, every day.
You know, the whole thing going on with what's the name of the
One
game?
Step One Step After Fall. Yeah.
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 I'm the reason that's a thing right now.
Legitimately.
Yeah, like a couple days ago I saw the German version go up for achievements on True Achievements, and I tweeted at Chris Charla of the ID at Xbox program. I'm like, hey, this is the third version of this game with an achievement stack, and the only thing that's different is the language. And later on, I found out it's not just only the language that's changed, it's only the subtitles that are changed. The actual voiceover is still in English. So the only thing that they changed
is they slapped on subtitles.
And they're reselling it. And I think that's bullshit. I think you should not be selling languages as a fucking standalone game. It sets a bad precedent. It's going to flood the store with different language versions of games that just want people buying their achievement stacks. It's going to turn into the PlayStation Store, which is what PlayStation just started outlawing. And we don't...
And I feel like that's totally why some of those people are going to start trying their hand over here.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if like a Lego game tried that?
Like Assassin's Creed German stack. Oh, fuck.
I'd play it. I don't even care.
There goes
I'd
7 weeks of my life.
Yeah.
But yeah, I tweeted at Chris Jarla and he said, we'll look into it. And True Achievements wrote an article about Chris Jarla saying, we'll look into it. The only mention that I got was that some person on Twitter made a comment.
Yeah, they could have at least identified.
Yeah, no shit. They could have given me a shout out. I'm the one who's like, hey, this shit needs to stop. And hey, this shit needs to stop. It really does. Like, Aki, I know you were saying that you don't really mind it. What are your thoughts on things?
I don't really care. I mean, if people want to play or pay for easy gamer score, then I mean, we have games like fucking Avatar, which are just
see, but there's a full
garbage.
Game there.
The achievements
are easy.
I don't know if I would
full
even
game
call
there.
That a full game. It's garbage,
Avatar,
but yeah,
it's not bad.
Avatar's a solid game. It's a solid kids game.
Yeah, it's honestly a product of its time.
Yeah,
like it's not. Yeah, the achievements are cheap, but I mean, like the gameplay itself, it's what was out at the time. Like, it's not bad. It's not great either. But when you get it on sale for $5, it was fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just, you know, I always see all of
that. I actually
like
played
a
decent amount of that game, too. Mostly because I couldn't get that fucking 100 combo to work.
Wow, you're awful.
I know, because, like, I read it. You know how many
That's
guides
sad
I had?
Even to me.
You know what? Be quiet. Like, you know how many guides I had to read on this stuff? Like, I legit got, like, halfway through the game before I restarted a new game and just tried it again. And,
on the intro sequence that you don't have to ever beat?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
I kept getting to like 84 or something like that. And then it would, it took me way more tries than I care to admit.
Oy vey.
Yeah. So
whatever. It's a decent game.
So if they were doing full retranslations of the whole game with fresh voiceovers, I can understand making it a separate release, but to just change the subtitles, I think it's bullshit, and it should not be allowed by Xbox.
Yeah, I find the conversation on TA to be a bit more amusing, personally.
Yeah, because
a lot of people there are like, oh, gamer score doesn't even matter. That's why I only care about the fucking TA ratio, which for
the
anyone
the artificially
who doesn't know,
inflated TA ratio?
Yeah. I'm just like,
I have like 1.5 mil TA ratio right now, and I only have like 800,000 gamer score.
Yeah, TA ratio was always stupid. It is only there so you can be like, I'm better than you guys, and that the score changes constantly. It doesn't mean fucking anything.
There are people who maliciously during big competitions that I won't name go and tank the ratio on purpose to screw with people's numbers. Like, no, it's pointless.
Wow.
Yeah, like, and there's a lot of malicious people that if a game gets screwed up, like, for instance, back on the, I think, 360, the first Tomb Raider reboot game, you know how sometimes you'd play that game and achievements just wouldn't pop on occasion, and then you'd have to replay the game and get them?
I'm dealing with that right now.
Yeah, yeah. People on there are on TA are so fucking malicious about their fucking TA ratios and shit that they'll find shit like that and report you as a cheater because they can.
Wait,
and it's just
what?
Like, it's all because they're all overly fucking competitive. If you get an achievement out of order because the game didn't give it to you because fucking achievements don't always pop right. People will report you.
Report you as cheating for getting achievements out of order?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's why I don't have, that's why mine is set to not have any of that stuff counted anymore, is because, specifically because of fucking Tomb Raider. And it's just like, well, okay, then fuck you guys, I guess. I don't care. It's like, I've never liked any of that shit. I'm just like, that's why I go for 100%. I'm like, I've beaten the game. That's
yeah, but now you can get 4 100% on One Step After Fall.
Yeah, I think...
You could get it on Xbox, you could get it on Windows 10, you could get it in German, and you could get it in Spanish.
Oh, but wait, there's more coming. They're also going to put it in Portuguese next, because that would be the other language native to the developer's location. So...
I don't understand why they aren't just putting that as just new subtitle options.
Exactly. That's the fucking point I'm making.
Yeah. Like,
they shouldn't be selling it. That shouldn't be paid. That should be in the game. It should be a free update.
There was a perspective I heard about how in some of the bigger conversation, and I apologize that I don't know who brought this to my attention in the conversation, but the idea that Microsoft created this smart delivery anywhere system and is trying to encourage developers, both big and small, to allow for those things where possible. These companies that are coming in to try and offer these stacks are kind of ruining the spirit of that yeah. Microsoft was trying to build. And if they aren't changing the language to enforce that value that they were pushing on the community to make it consumer friendly, that's a problem.
Like if I could buy, I don't know, what's something that came out on multiple platforms recently?
Peppa Pig.
There's not two versions of Peppa Pig, you moron.
Oh, well, you didn't make that clear. I just said. You only asked, like, what's something that came out.
Okay, if you buy Hogwarts Legacy, when May rolls around, you get that. If you buy the deluxe edition, you get the regular version, or the Xbox One version, free.
Right. Because we're still on the cusp of this change between generations.
If I could do that for one price, why can't I get all of sometimes used releases for one price? Why do I have to buy one version and then a separate version?
Because they want money.
Or the companies that put out Windows stacks as well. Yeah, there's games that have three versions, just Xbox Series and Windows. Not even bringing languages into discussion. Are we going to get an Xbox Spanish, a Series Spanish, and a Windows Spanish?
Maybe.
That's six versions of one game.
Yeah.
Where's the line drawn?
I mean,
Xbox stops getting money to make it worthwhile, probably.
I mean, at the same time, I mean, you know, Grand Theft Auto 5 has been on, you know, three different consoles at this point.
Been on so many more than that.
But they've actually, you know, reprogram the thing for different consoles, where most of these games are just released at the same time. It's Grand Theft Auto was years in between releases,
so they just released it faster. That's all I'm hearing.
I'm not saying I agree with Grand Theft Auto either.
I definitely don't. I think this will stop happening when it stops being when it stops giving Xbox money.
I just think it's a bad precedent to allow multiple languages to be released for one game. It's going to clog up the store. It's going to confuse buyers. There's going to be people buying a Spanish version, not realizing it's a Spanish version and getting pissed off at Xbox for selling them that. I think it's a bad idea.
Yeah, I've never particularly appreciated selling it in different regions in general. Because it's always due to some censorship. You can't show this in this country or this in this country, so let's make them different. I think all that shit's stupid. Just put the full game out in every country.
Yeah, go Thimbersane. For example, you buy Cuphead, you play it on Xbox One Series X and Windows Store. Smart delivery.
Play anywhere, smart delivery, yep.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Everything should have that.
Companies really like getting more money, so...
But you know what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to cry if the developers of that game don't send me a code. Because I'm not going to name names, but there's an outlet who decided to complain about the fact that they wouldn't send him a code for, I think, the German version. And finding out that he actually got a code for the English version a few months before and never covered the game. And now
that it's
getting attention, yeah. They wanted to cover the German version and get the easy achievements. And because they wouldn't send him a code, he tried to publicly call them out, which is bullshit. I don't agree with what the devs are doing, but to try and like railroad them in public. Like, I'm not...
Especially after they've given you a code already and you failed to deliver, that's fucked up. You don't get a second code for the game when you...
I'm not asking
might have been a third
stuff.
Or something code at that point, because I think he might have already had the other version or something, but yeah, I think he was trying to cover, like, all of them at once, which would have potentially been, you know, negative press in that case, and I don't blame them for going, nah...
Yeah, I agree with them. I side with them on the thing. I don't side with them on what they're doing with the releases, but I guess in the end, it's Microsoft's decision of what they're going to allow and what they're not going to allow. I actually bought the Spanish version because I thought they were just doing a Spanish version, and it was fully retranslated and redubbed, and I didn't think it was going to turn into a thing, and now it's turning into a thing. And I do not support it, but any other thoughts on the matter? Anyone else have thoughts?
I think people are stupid.
I see something that made it sound like the developers were really big fans of Xbox. And that makes me wonder what their opinions are on the achievement system.
Now, if they ever want to come on.
We just need to get that clip of Mr. Krabs from... from SpongeBob, where he's just like, I like money.
Yeah, base.
Well, devs, if you hear this and you want to come on and explain your side and say why it's a good thing to have these language versions instead of just free updates, we'd love to have you on. We'd love to talk to you, get your side of the story. We're not here to throw you under the bus or anything like that. I don't agree with it, but I'm curious to hear why you're doing it. That's all I got to say.
Well, that's a simple answer. Money, money, money.
Yeah. Money. Yeah, I'm hoping that there's a little more than that.
I promised my grandfather on my deathbed I would release 12 different versions of one game in a year.
I would think there'd be another reason for it if it was only releasing in that region. Like if they had the German one, but it was only being sold in Germany and not everywhere, then I would believe they had another reason. But it's releasing everywhere. There's not another reason. It's all about money.
They're like, we really want to reach out to our German fans who live in America.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
Oh, well, should we get to news?
Nah.
Tough shit. Sure. I don't have too much news anyway this week. PlayStation Plus catalog for the rest of March was announced. Tuesday's additions for PS Plus Premium. It's another month of lackluster premium games. I'm sure everyone's surprised.
Yep. Can't you tell? Most shocked voice ever.
Yeah. Ridge Racer Type 4 from PS1, Ape Academy 2 from PSP, and Siphon Filter Dark Mirror from PSP. And that's it. Just three games.
Siphon Filter's probably a good game, isn't it?
Siphon Filter's fine, but like there's hundreds upon hundreds of games they could be releasing, and they're just drip feeding three a month.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
But they finally got Legend of Dragoon, which is the only game that matters.
Yeah, true. The Extra catalog has a great lineup, though. PS Plus Extra editions are Uncharted Legacy of Thieves Collection.
Nice. Chia,
which we previewed a few weeks ago and we'll be talking about in a couple of weeks on the show. Rainbow Six Extraction, Life is Strange, True Colors, Life is Strange 2, Immortals, Phoenix Rising, Dragon Ball Z Kakarot, Street Fighter V Champion Edition, Untitled Goose Game, Final Fantasy Type-0 HD, Neo, The World Ends With You, Rage 2, Haven, and Ghostwire Tokyo, which we got the news, is finally hitting Xbox on April 12th.
I can't wait for that game. I'm so excited. I want that game so bad.
Yeah.
And that is a fantastic lineup. Almost every last one of those games is an amazing fucking game.
Yeah, PS Plus is bringing it with their extra lineup. It's just the premium that Need some work.
Maybe work will get made. I doubt it, but doubt you know, it. Maybe.
Oh, well, they got me for another year anyway with Legend of Dragoon, so fuck it.
Yep.
But yeah, Ghostwire Tokyo hitting Xbox Series X and S and Game Pass on April 12th.
Fuck yeah. I'm excited. Yeah, Game Pass. And it's going to have a, when it comes out, it's going to have a brand new update to it too.
Yeah, did you read about the update? Do you know what's going to be in it?
I believe it's going to have new bosses in a new area, I believe. I don't remember exactly what it was, to be honest, but I'm it said that there's going to be some new enemies, a new boss, and a new area.
Bria, are you interested in Ghostwire?
I don't know enough about it to know if it's my kind of game, and that's just something I've got to look up, I guess.
Fair enough. Jacob, what are your thoughts? Or are you helping your family?
No, I would have told you if I was. Oh. I'm actually just responding to something on the chat, but what are you asking if I have thoughts on?
Ghostwire Tokyo.
Nope, no thoughts.
Okay, cool apparently name, only I'm super excited for it. I guess that it also isn't particularly shocking.
I mean, I'm just looking at it quick. It's by Tango Gameworks and Bethesda. So, I mean, I'm kind of interested immediately just on that, having recently played Hi-Fi Rush for the first time. So, yeah.
Completely different type of game.
Oh, sure. But just like understanding just more about a development team and what they're capable of doing, that piques my interest at least to go look into it more.
See, I like it for the monster lore aspect. I love games like this. It's fantastic.
I love that Jacob is having like meaningful conversation in chat, but not on the show.
Isn't that standard?
I mean, I also was trying to have meaningful conversation in chat and it didn't
with
get
all
acknowledged.
The skulls?
No, I said that the cat picture was in the Discord. I mean, you demanded pictures of my cat with a pie. So, you know.
That's fair. Actually, now that I think about it, no, that I usually don't have meaningful discussion in the chat. Usually,
no,
I try to start singing the song that never ends in the chat, and then I get bored.
It's a cute kitty.
Yeah, it's a cute kitty.
I bet the amount of hair that cat gives off is insane, though.
Foofers. That's what I call Jelly, foofers. She's so foofy.
Yeah.
Foofy butt. The incredible looking Sea of Stars is adding Xbox One and Series X and S to its launch platforms for August 29th. A lot of people were bummed that this wasn't announced for Xbox. It is coming to Xbox. It is hitting everything and it looks incredible.
I actually have to look this up because I don't know what
retro
this is.
Retro RPG.
Ah.
Yeah, oh, that's very I've much up my alley.
Yeah, it looks nice.
Oh, it's coming to Xbox, so fucking awesome. Last bit of news I have is that Nintendo Online is adding a couple of games to its lineup. My cats are going crazy behind me. Game Boy is getting Kirby's Dream Land 2 and Burger Time Deluxe.
Yay for Kirby!
Yay, Kirby. SNES is getting Side Pocket. Some pool. And NES
I play Side Pocket sometimes.
During the show.
I'm always heavy breathing.
Yeah, I figured. No, it's not because he's doing it. It's because he's trying to shuffle around under his stomach to get to it. That's what the heavy breathing is for.
I have to lift up my fupa.
Yep.
You got to snort out of Aki.
I love that word. I don't know why.
Finally.
I love the word fupa. I don't know why. Every time I hear it, it makes me want to laugh. Oh, my God.
And NES Online is getting Xevious.
I have no idea what that is either.
It's a Namco shmup. It's like one of the oldest shmups out there. Good and modern.
Oh, so Carnage wants it. Okay.
Nice and modern for
I mean,
Nintendo.
I might also want it, but, you know.
I don't understand how any of you like those types of games. It's a shmup, Scotty. It's a shmup. A new one on the Switch.
It's a new old one.
Yeah, well, yeah.
It's Xevious. I'm pretty sure it's on Xbox.
I think there was a 360 port. I'm not totally sure, but I'm pretty sure it had
a 360 arcade port, but I don't know if it's backward compatible, and it's been on multiple Namco museums.
It was available on the Xbox 360. It has since been delisted.
So there you go.
Wait a second. How the hell do I have achievements in it? I don't think I own this game.
It was on the Namco Arcade Museum disc.
Fall into the abyss of my gaping butthole.
Randall.
Oh, which I do have that. I do have that. Oh, man.
Randall, thank you so much for the raid. Good to see you coming by. Good to see you. What were you doing? Drawing stuff? That's what you usually do on stream.
Sorry that you felt you needed to come here. I'm so, so sorry.
You're so helpful, Aki.
Hey, I don't know if the people who watch them know what the hell they're getting into coming here. I'm so sorry for all of you. My apologies in advance.
That is fair. That is fair indeed. What kind of news do you two have?
Well, go ahead.
I was going to say, I only have one bit of news. Voice actor and regular actor Lance Reddick passed away. The other day, he did voice acting for Destiny and Horizon, and he was also Albert Wesker in the Netflix Resident Evil series.
We don't talk about that.
I still have yet to watch it. I heard it was like
it whatever. Was not very good.
I mean, to be fair, though, I mean, like, that's all
the movies were better. Yeah, that's how bad it was. He played the concierge guy on John Wick.
He's done a lot of things. He was in Fringe.
I just figured, you know, if people don't know him by his voice acting career, because I didn't, they would know him more likely from
If you John saw Wick him, series. You'll be like, oh, that guy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He was also in Hatch in Quantum Break.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep.
It's a shame. I didn't realize he was as old as he was. He was 60. I did not think he was that old.
I was actually going to peg that as young as he was.
Well, there is that.
I really thought he was like...
No, he looked younger. 40,
maybe?
Yeah.
He did.
He looked younger than 60. So, still a young death, unfortunately. And he will be missed.
Yeah.
Aki, what kind of news do you have?
That was actually the news I had too. So.
Bree, do you have any news that isn't the same thing?
Well, I was going to say, I didn't hear if you said it earlier. I know it was mentioned the other day that Coffee Talk 2 is coming to Game Pass in middle end of April. So I was pretty excited about that.
April 20th. Haha.
Yeah, I know. 420, right? Super
excited. But, I'm so happy we have a show that night.
Awesome.
I'm going to have to find some stoners to come on and get plastered.
God, sure if only we know some.
I know.
Like 90% of the cast.
I do find it weird. We haven't gotten the actual official news of what is leaving Game Pass at the end of this month. That's a little stressful for some people.
I'm surprised. Is it?
I have a list based on some data scrubbing that I do of what I think will be leaving, but
let us hear it. Might as well.
You want to hear? People.
This is all speculative.
Let me pull up the Game Pass app quick to see if they have the actual list.
Yeah, I checked it. It's got a blank leaving soon right now because the game's left the other day. But I actually do this speculation based on some data scrubbing that I do.
I guess we should.
Pretty often.
Okay, then go ahead.
I can, and I'm happy to share where I get my information so you guys can look for yourself. I know I shared it recently. Hold on, let me pull it up here.
I'm not smart enough to do that. So
game news, there we go. All right, so I believe Totally Reliable Delivery Service, Power Rangers Battle for the Grid, Dungeon of Nahal, but I have no idea, the Chicken Edition, I don't know how to say that whole thing, A Memoir Blue, and Kraken Academy, based on the, it's basically the website, it's like xbdeals.net, it shows when discounts end. And based on that, if it doesn't match a current sale and it says Game Pass, it will say when the deal ends. And that is usually meaning that it's leaving Game Pass. during that time. So if it's within the same window, that's why that pops that way. So,
well, there's good news for everybody then. Almost all of those games can be completed within a week.
Well, yeah, not Power Rangers. That one looks ridiculous.
Yeah, but most of the rest of those I've played. So.
Yeah.
I know a good chunk of those can just be... A good chunk of those, you can complete multiple of them in a single day.
No.
Yeah. And there may be others, or some of those might get last-minute renewals. Yeah, and then there's some others that came on last year around this time, like Tunic, that, you know, they don't show that their discount is ending, but anything that came on about a year ago is potentially up for leaving as well, so...
Yeah, I'm surprised
that's always a good indicator as well.
My gaping butthole.
I'm surprised the list hasn't been shown yet. They usually update on like the 15th, 16th, at least on the app. Horror Acolyte, thank you so much for the raid. Thank you for dropping some more victims off to listen to our bantering and bullshit. Welcome, raiders. Hope you have a good time here. Enjoy the emotes, the channel emotes. There's like a good one there, I think, like a heart. And then Pern Fan is there. There's a cat.
Yay, cats.
Yay, cats. What the hell were we talking about? Games leaving Game Pass.
Yeah.
We should hear on Tuesday what the new Game Pass stuff is, I think. We usually hear on Tuesdays. It's usually like every other Tuesday. That's a little late.
Fall into the abyss of my gaping butthole.
They've been like a week off since they took their holiday break. And I think with this month having... 5 Fridays, it's going to like work itself back out, because then the next update will be on April 4th, which is back at the beginning of the month.
Yeah, that's fair. And that is technically where we might have until then for the final date of things leaving, as opposed to the actual like 31st or whatever. But it just still seems a little weird that they're taking, you know, more than a day break in between and not letting us know. I don't know. That just frustrates me.
They gotta give us the heads up and... let us know what we got to buy before it's gone.
Yeah, well, until then, I have a pretty reliable method. As I said, you're welcome to, you know, ask me what I think is leaving. And, you know, I'll give you warnings if I think you might want to work on stuff. So
I know for sure MLB The Show will be leaving, because the new one is joining on the 28th.
Yeah, true story.
Yeah, I'm excited about that one. I love my baseball games every year. They're fun to play for a few months. Jacob, do you ever get into The Show, or are you still just super mega baseball?
Pretty much still super mega baseball. I have to bounce for a bit. I'll be back.
Okay.
Family did not get in a wreck, and they were not kidnapped, so that's good news.
Well, maybe he's going to get the ransom, though. We don't know.
I was going to say, yeah, we don't actually know yet.
We don't know why he's leaving. He could just be pooping.
The house could be on fire.
While it he's pooping. Getting,
I mean... Him pooping, that could very well be the truth. I mean, it's past 8:30, which means this is probably about the time for him to go poop for half an hour. That is fully fucking possible with him.
Do you know his schedule now? Do you know his bowel movement schedule? Have you been stalking him that long?
Right before the show.
Yeah, but that's on Thursdays. Today's Friday, so he could have a different...
probably like that every day.
He could have a different schedule for Fridays. You never know.
I don't know. It interrupts our show, and he's sometimes late to it. So I have a feeling that it's probably the same every day. Just logicking this out here. Oh, I am so sorry to everyone who is part of either of those raids.
Yeah. Welcome, raiders. How are you doing tonight? Thank you for bringing in all these viewers to listen to us talk about Jacob's pooping. Should we get to reviews? We have a handful of reviews to tackle tonight. Aki, do you want to get into these?
Sure.
Bree, did you want to stick around for reviews, or are you going to head out?
I can hang out. Let's do this.
Cool. Well, the first game we're going to talk about tonight is called Mato Anomalies, developed by Arrowiz Games, published by Prime Matter, released March 10th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $39.99. Mato Anomalies is a turn-based RPG that takes players on a journey across Mato, a fantasy neo-futuristic version of the old Shanghai. Take control of the dual protagonists, Doe and Graham, to investigate strange anomalies anomalies around the city or venture into rifts to battle demonic abominations determined to bring about the city's downfall. Aki, tell us about your time with the Mado Anomalies.
Okay. In this, you are in a place called Mado. It is a large city that seems to be cut off from the rest of the world due to some weird anomaly. The people are in different tiers. You know, there's the ground tier, which is basically poisoned air and shitty living for the poorest of the poor, all the way up to the head people who, you know, are the fancy cocksuckers. And yeah, you play as someone who's in the middle tier called a Doe. He is a detective. Your introduction to him is him getting home and getting kidnapped by three men. Because, you know, that's great.
Yay.
You are put off to find this mysterious underground thing called Holdout. No idea what it is. No one sells it, even though people are getting a hold of it through the black market. Don't know what it does, but you're looking for it for, we'll call this lady an information broker. She's basically a mob boss, realistically speaking. And there you get pulled into this other world, where there are monsters that your gun cannot hurt. So you're kind of super fucked. And then poof, here appears a very messed up dude called Grim, who cuts the shit out of these things and they all die. And it's fantastic. And, there you go. He leads you out of there. And that is how the game becomes split. You walk around the normal world as Doe, collecting side quests and main quests and everything. The whole story basically goes through him. And then when they go into the dungeon, it switches over to Grim because he's the only one who can fight. Doe is fucking useless in every conceivable way. For instance, he can't run to the first stoplight from his house because he's in such bad shape. It's bad. They're fighting these, I don't know what they're actually called because I don't know how to pronounce it. But it's like Baotai or something like that. And, they're just these weird monster things. Like one of them looks like a bust of somebody's head. Another is a bunch of Tetris blocks. Another is this weird blob thing with four legs that has a human face at the end and a helicopter blades on top of it. Like, these things are all just really weird shit. And they come about and create rifts to our world because of all the negative emotions and stuff, and they suck up all that stuff and become powerful. And if they become powerful enough, they can step into the real world, which causes big problems. Namely, they're able to destroy a lot of shit very, very, very easily. So you guys are trying to figure out what Holdout has to do with them and to stop all of this, because Grim is only focused on killing those things. He doesn't care about Holdout. He doesn't care about anything that Doe's doing. But Doe is able to find these rifts for him because they happen to be around all these places where Holdout is. You run through dungeons as Grim is a good part of the gameplay, and as other teammates when you obtain them. And you have turn-based combat. You get to choose a bunch of different attacks or skip your turn, occasionally healing if you want. There's no defend button, which is crazy to me. So you're going to take a lot of damage, but you also deal out a lot of damage. It's great. There's plenty of bosses in there. There's lots of the bosses end up being just other variants of these creatures. They're called like champions or something. And then you have actual real boss fights that are unique individual things that you don't fight anywhere else in the game. And very unique. And they'll fuck up your shit, yo. Everything outside of combat ends up being, you know, just collecting side quests generally so you can go into another side quest dungeon to go kill something, and then you get some free shit, and it's great.
Yay.
But occasionally, there's also companion quests, which is basically you go up to them and you talk to them, and you get to learn a little bit more about them, and you increase how much they like you, which I assume impacts which ending you get, because there's two different endings to this game. I haven't gotten either of them. I'm in chapter 5 of at least, there's at least 7. I think there's probably 8. And I'm in chapter 5 right now. I've probably put 30-ish or so hours into the game so far. So,
oh, geez. So it's a hefty one.
Yeah, it's pretty hefty, especially if you're doing all the side quests like I am.
Yeah.
Bri,
how much time did you put into the game?
I did about 4 hours the other day on stream, and I mean, some of that was just me like talking to people and whatever, but
and cat time, of course.
Well, yeah, obviously, yeah. Cat time.
Yeah, the first handful of hours that I spent in the game, a lot of it revolved around trying to figure out how shit worked, realistically speaking. Because the game's like, oh yeah, there are side quests, there are main quests, there's companion quests. And I was like, okay, I guess I'll talk to everybody and find the side quests. And I'll talk to Grim and see if he has a companion quest and all this stuff. You don't do that. Don't waste your time doing that. The game will eventually pop up something on the map that will tell you, oh, here's a side quest here. I spent hours talking to literally everyone I came across, being like, do you have a side quest? No. Okay, you? No. You? No. Fuck! How do I know if they have a side quest or not? And yes, don't waste your time with that. There's proud also another... Yeah, it's bad. There's also another mechanic in the game that's called mind hacks. And basically, sometimes you need information, and certain people have it, and they're dickheads, and they're not going to give it to you. So you kidnap them, and you make them give it to you, which sounds a lot dirtier than that was supposed to. And you go into their mind basically with this glove that you have. And you basically, it's a card battle, with prearranged decks. So you don't have to worry about collecting cards or anything. It's a prearranged deck. Every one of your companions has two different decks. Basically, one of them, if you get far enough into their companion quests, it'll unlock a special one, and then there's the standard one. Once you unlock that team member, you get it. And basically, you're attacking the person's mind, but they also have a demons attached to them, which give them certain benefits. Like, some of them are, if the host does damage to you, they get an extra 2 damage and 2 defense each time added to their stuff. So if they land a hit on you, now every turn they get 2 defense and another 2 attack. And then if they do it again, they now have another 2 damage and 2 defense that they add on top of that. And it just snowballs out of control until you're fucked. At least that's been my experience. If you're not good at these, after you fail enough times, it will allow you to skip it. You do not, get penalized for skipping it or anything. Most of these you're probably going to succeed. Usually once you unlock a new deck, you want to use it for the next person you're fighting against until you're getting the companion decks. Then you just switch to those and figure out what's needed for that individual character. Because some of them are like, oh, they have a whole bunch of attack that they do every turn. Well, there's a defense base, so obviously that's the one you want. So on and so forth. And I didn't think I would like it, because I hate card games, realistically speaking. But they're actually, it's really good, especially later on once you get the other decks. I don't know.
Aki likes card games now.
I hate that I like it.
I'm the same.
Some of the decks are confusing, especially when you get to the advanced decks, which are the ones you unlock through your companion quests, because they have different meters that allow them to attack in different ways, and they don't really explain how any of that works. And it took until actually just last night until I actually figured one of them out, because they don't they don't explain it. They give you the tutorial of how to do it basically, but then they never tell you really the advanced stuff. They give you a little like sentence or two explanation for each deck when you're looking at the deck, because it explains what the deck is, but it doesn't really explain how to use it, which is a shame. And you pick up weapons through the main game for combat in the dungeons and stuff. And yeah, that's really all there is. There's three different languages.
You have Chinese. To buy each individual language?
No. there's English, Japanese, and Chinese. I don't particularly like most of the English voice actors. They sound too high-pitched and annoying. I like both the Chinese and Japanese voice actors, though. They're really good. And yeah, that's about it for that. Cool. I had some problems with the game.
What kind of issues did you have?
Notably, it's when buying and selling equipment, because you have gear which increases, you know, oh, this will give your team more attack, more HP, more what have you. And then there's also weapons that you can buy and sell. When you're selling them, or each gear item, I guess, has unique properties to them. So if it's anything above like a standard shitty white version, there's green, uncommon, blue, rare, purple, epic, and gold legendary. And each one has extra stuff. Like this weapon might give you better accuracy, and the next one might give you, you know, better accuracy and lifesteal, and it'll damage normal enemies more or what have you. When you go to sell weapons, it doesn't tell you that information at all. So you don't know what the hell you're selling. Yeah. Which is a big fucking problem. And when you're buying stuff, it doesn't give you that information because it picks it at random when you buy it, which I fine, whatever. I don't like that. It irritates me, but whatever. But for gear items, that's especially a problem because every time you go into one of the optional little, I'm going into a dungeon in order just to increase my level, which are called random dungeons, you can get like 10, 12 of them in each dungeon. So like right now I have probably 100 of them in my inventory, and each one is different. Like there's a group that's just for HP, a group that's for this type of attack, this type of attack, ones that are like, oh, this does these three different things, and you have to connect them in this grid together in order to get them powered up more and more so they give you more and more unlocks, and they don't connect to different sets. So when you're selling stuff, you want to know what that extra stuff that is in it is, because you might be like, this one goes in this place on this grid, but I have four of them and two of them are blue, but I only like one of the blue ones.
Yeah. Well, other problems have you run into?
That's a majority of it right there. So it's very specifically that.
Be more clear about what the hell you're buying and selling.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be great. There was another problem, but I don't remember what the hell it was. I think my other problem was how hard some of the card battles were back before I got the more advanced ones.
Well, we need a verdict on this one. It is sitting at $39.99. There is also a deluxe edition for $44.99. That's only a $5 difference. It comes with a Gears pack, a Pioneer's badge, some extra cards, like some kind of typewriter thing, a digital art book, a jukebox, a special weapons pack. It sounds like this is a really good deluxe edition for $5 more.
Yeah, get the I say either one of them is worth buying. I would suggest the deluxe one, because that'll probably have you really well off at the very beginning of the game. But even the standard one, the game isn't particularly hard. One of the best things about this game is that it has auto battles. So you can get into a battle and then do something while it fights for you. I built so many guns. You can change
the difficulty as you go along too, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, you can change the difficulty.
So that's nice.
Right in the middle of the game. You can also change
thoughts you have on the game?
I mean, I think I share a lot of similar thoughts. Like, I mean, I would focus on a lot of the story elements I really liked. I kind of loved the companion quest thing, which I also got a little bit of before I stopped the other night because it kind of reminded me of like the skits in Tales games. I like those sorts of deepening relationship kind of little mini quests, and I hope that it will have some change on things down the line. I really thought the deluxe edition was a good idea. And again, like I wasn't expecting, I was like, oh crap, card battle system. But I actually really liked what I've played of it so far. And I'm looking forward to kind of playing with stuff and seeing, you know, how deep that goes. And just, I thought the whole like enemy section, the anomaly, like void pocket realm, whatever you want to call it, and the enemies, the like the Banetide in it, were all kind of representative of these like different, you know, greed and avarice and all these things were just like really creatively done. And I don't know, just a really neat world. So cool. Yeah,
it's like you enjoyed it as well.
Absolutely.
Cool. All right, Jacob, you back yet? All right, next game to talk about is the Dark Picture Switchback VR, developed and published by Supermassive Games, released March 16th for PS5 and the PSVR 2 for $39.99. Immerse yourself in this fast-paced roller coaster action horror shooter where every move you make could mean the difference between life and death. If you were a fan of the original PlayStation VR, chances are you've played Until Dawn Rush of Blood, which was a roller coaster shooting gallery type of game. And this is basically the spiritual sequel to it. It's once again developed by Supermassive Games, the makers of the Dark Pictures anthology. This is a, from what I could tell, a standalone game in the series where I don't know if it has any connections to the others, but it has its own set of stories and missions that you go through. Everything is done via an auto-rolling minecart, basically, where you're just sitting in it and you roll through the areas. Enemies will come at you. There will be targets that you have to hit for extra points. The big thing with this game right off the bat that I noticed is visually it is very subpar. Like, I noticed graininess in the game. Some of the character models weren't as impressive as I had hoped. After seeing how crystal clear some other games were on the PSVR 2, it was kind of weird to go back in it. It felt like the PSVR 1 again. Had that graininess and kind of fence, like screen door effect that some VR stuff has to it. It was just kind of, I don't know, it didn't set my world on fire visually. Gameplay wise, it was fun. It's, you got a gun in each hand, enemies come at you, and you got to shoot them. And because it's in VR, they are really, really good at fucking with you and just screwing with you through misdirection, where something will be happening over on the left side of the screen where like a boat will come crashing through the wall, and then all of a sudden you're getting damaged by an enemy on your right who's right in your face, scares the shit out of you. You almost drop your controllers, you go to pick them back up, and you end up grabbing your cat's tail, and then you start shooting and you shoot the enemy in the face. And you sit back and relax and you take a deep breath and then realize that more enemies are coming after you. It is a wild ride. It is possibly a bit too wild in some respects. I suffer from motion sickness in a lot of games. And so far with the VR 2, I haven't had any issues with motion sickness until this game. Some of the faster roller coaster sections, they just got my tummy a swirling and a gurgling, and I had to take the headset off and take a few minutes to myself to just take a deep breath and cool off.
I'm trying so hard not to laugh at you. I'm so sorry.
I mean, laugh at me, banter with me, so I know someone's actually listening. Do you have any questions about the game?
Is the cat okay? That was really my question.
Simon is fine, although he does not know when to get the hell away when you're doing VR. Ashley was doing VR yesterday. She was playing Puzzling Places, and this was her first time playing the VR 2, and she stepped on Simon like 3 times.
Because
he keeps just laying on the floor in between your legs while you're playing. And
your cat is not very smart.
No, Simon's a dickhead. He's
he might be trying to kill you.
I think so.
I think he's trying to kill himself. Jesus.
No, no. If we fall, we're going to break our own neck trying to avoid the cat. Switchback VR, though, it's pretty solid. It has eye tracking, so like...
Mm.
So you can stare at all the women's boobs and...
There's no boobs.
They'll know.
Yeah, there's none of that. It's got some tension, some of the adaptive rumble haptic feedback stuff in the helmet, in the triggers. There's areas of the game where you're moving along and you actually have to like duck under beams and move to the left and right to avoid getting hit and losing health. It's fun. I worry that $40 is a bit too much for this game. I don't remember what Rush of Blood was 20 when it came out. It might have been 30. I think 30 would have been the tops for this game, honestly. Visually, it just doesn't set my world on fire. Gameplay-wise, it's still a good time. Few hours of gameplay there, some good replayability, try getting high scores. Some of the levels are a bit long, could shorten them up or give you a better idea of when you're in between segments, because I sat for a while not knowing if a chapter was over or if I hit a checkpoint, and out of just curiosity, I quit out of the game, reloaded my last checkpoint, and it started me somewhere I hadn't been before. So I don't know what exactly. Yeah. I don't know if it like jumped ahead a segment by accident, if I was like the tail end of one and the one was just beginning. It was weird. But overall, $40 on this one. I'll give it a try it. If you have a PSVR 2, honestly, right now there's not a ton of games out that are available, so it's probably going to be at the top of your list to check out. It's not as good as Rush of Blood, but it gets the job done if you're looking for a roller coaster action shooter. So,
kinky bananas.
Yeah, Jacob, you back yet?
So useless. Okay.
Next game to talk about is The Wreck, developed and published by Pixel Hunt. Released March 14th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $19.99. At 36, Junon's life is in pieces. Her career is stalled. She's emotionally numb, and her personal life is falling apart. Sounds like everyone on this show. Things come to a head when she's called to the ER and find her estranged mother in critical condition. This is the most important day of Junon's life, and unless something changes, it might be her last. Aki, what is going on in The Wreck?
Okay. This game is aptly named because it's going to wreck you. Forewarning that this is a very emotional game and you will cry so much. So much. I cried for about 3 hours straight while playing the game. As stated, you are at the hospital because your mom has had an aneurysm and you... she's unconscious, and you have been written in as the individual who's going to make all the choices. You didn't agree to this. Your mom's just a shithead and has forged your signature because, you know, that's what she does. And basically, the entire game ends up going with her dealing not just with this, but with past trauma between her and other people in her family. And it's all done through visual novel conversations. Sometimes you'll get to make a choice of what you're saying, which just furthers what you say later on in that conversation, but doesn't actually impact anything. Sometimes when you're talking, bits of the, because all of it is also in word bubbles. Sometimes some of the words in the word bubbles will be read and you get to pick that, and it'll continue her thoughts on that, or sometimes there'll be two of them and you can continue the line of thought on which one you choose, and then you eventually come up and say something that further stresses or breaks the relationship between you and the individual you're talking to, and then she basically goes and runs away into her car, which gets her in a car accident. And then she gets to enter one of her past memories And in that, basically, there's a little bit of an unskippable little thing where she talks as you see the level you'll be looking at. And once you get control, you go forward and backwards through that little scene, basically, and find areas where there's words that partially appear and click on them. And then she talks about her thoughts and things she knows in that area. And when you find them all, you figure out the right thing to say for that segment of the conversation. And it rewinds back from the car wreck back to, and suddenly she's there talking with them. And it's before that she said whatever she said to break or damage the relationship. And she gets to say something new to further the conversation in a more, I wouldn't call it necessarily a positive light, but in a resolution light instead. Because this game, not all of these relationships are fixed. Because real life, not everything gets fixed. Instead, this is about resolution. Because you can't always fix things, but you can always resolve issues. And that's a big part of this game, is dealing with the past. And it's all related to a very specific subject that I'm not going to talk about, because that is a very important part of the narrative that ties everything together. And it's very, very sad, and it's kind of making me want to cry right now. So yeah, it's really good. It's 4-5 hours long, 6 hours long, something like that, maybe. I beat it in one sitting, and you'll probably want to as well, because if you stop it, I don't know if you're going to want to start it again after you've cried so much.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I did it in one sitting.
I did not finish it in one sitting. Yeah.
you went back to it?
Well, I need to this weekend, and that is definitely something I'm like mentally preparing myself for, because while I don't know exactly where it's going to go, I have my suspicions, and it is, there's a lot of stuff in there that's very hard to witness, and a lot of it honestly hit me on very personal ways, and I don't like to show a lot of emotion publicly, and of course I was like live streaming this, and I was getting teared up in some parts, like, yeah, no, that was rough. And it's, yeah,
don't play the rest of this on stream, because you,
yeah, no,
fall. Oh, it's so good. Yeah, this dealt with some personal issues that I had too. So
don't go too much more into the subject of the game, just so it doesn't give anything away. It sounds like it's a really heavy but enjoyable experience. $20. What's your thoughts?
Yes. Go buy it. Yeah.
If I could add a couple words, again, not to give too much away, but I curate a list of games that deal with mental health and disability, with intention to do some more writing on that to publish elsewhere. But there were some things that it did really well, and the function of a game like that in our play space can be multiple levels. Like, we can use it to not feel so alone, because we recognize that someone else has created this because they've probably experienced something like that. We feel less alone. Or if we're trying to explain to someone what it feels like to be dealing with a PTSD flashback or something, and that, you know, or grief or whatever it is that you're dealing with, you know, these games are helpful to maybe use as a conversation piece to go, hey, this is kind of what it feels like if you're not understanding what I'm trying to tell you. And that is something that this game does really well, is give you a physical game mechanic that allows you to maybe show someone what you might be feeling, how you might see things.
It's also a good release for catharsis.
Well, right. And that's kind of the first half of that, where, you know, like, oh, hey, someone else in the world is going through this, or has been through something similar. And so it was really good on both of those levels. And like the subtitles and how it kind of played around the screen and showed up in different ways was, you know, a creative use of that in a different way than the typical visual novel that I felt was like really meaningful in terms of like emotional impact of a word using color or the shaking or how things kind of show up in those different sequences and how you'll, you know, play through those memories over and over again. Just was a really good illustration of a lot of those things. So
yeah, it's a very good game. I will never play this a game again. I'm not going to put myself through that again. But as everyone here knows, Legend of Dragoon is like my favorite game ever. I like this game more.
Hey, Dark Mickey, you just won a giveaway.
Oh, awesome.
Quick, claim it. Before
I claim
just,
it.
Just so Carnage knows you're here.
I'm totally not here. You'd never know.
Oh, man. Well, that's it for this episode. Thanks, everyone, for coming and hanging out with us. Nothing, Jacob? Really?
Sorry, what's up?
Jesus Christ.
Did you have your poo break, I'm assuming?
No, the kids had to get bathed and then go to bed.
Oh.
I just pretended the show was ending, thinking you would say something like, oh, wait, I'm here.
No, actually, Bree had made something about, like, I'd like to say a few words, too, and I was going to throw out, like, some random words that were absolutely related to nothing, and then she was like, and it's related to mental health, blah, 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 and I'm like,
I better shut the fuck up, yeah.
Yeah.
Had you start, I would have yelled at you, legitimately. I would have been angry.
Yeah, well, don't worry. Jacob is smart enough to at least read the room.
Thank so, God. Anyway. if you are interested in the wreck, I may have slid Carnage a code to do a giveaway for that right now, hopefully.
Right now. Listening.
So next giveaway will be for the wreck. If you would like to win it.
Wait.
See, he just reset it. So type !! Enter if you were in our live chat. If you're listening to this on MP3, man, did you fuck up and miss out? You should join us on our live shows. Join us on Twitch, twitch.tv/thesmlpodcast. Join us, hang out with us. But we do still have more games to go through tonight. We're not done yet. The next game to talk about is Clash Artifacts of Chaos, developed by Ace Team, published by Nakon, released March 9th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5, and PC for $39.99. Hunted by the mercenaries of an enemy with untold power, the fighter Sudo and the creature under his protection begin a perilous quest to the edges of strange lands. Jacob, tell us about your time with Clash Artifacts of Chaos.
So this is a really weird game. It's like a mix between like a 3D brawler, exploration. There's some RPG elements to it and also like a weird first person fighting, section, but, you are this guy who's, you are this guy who is like crossing this like wasteland kind of thing. I'm not sure where exactly it's set, like what happened with it beforehand. But you start off as this like weird skeletonish guy as like, the tutorial starts. And I was just like, okay, it looks like somebody stuck like a baby doll, like on top of like a skeleton. That's kind of weird. But whatever. And then you actually get to the main game part and I'm not going to lie. Your dude is ugly as shit. he is the most ugly video game protagonist I have ever seen. Like, he looks like Voldemort with a neck vagina. There's really just no other way to explain it. Like, Aki, did you look him up?
Yeah, I was off of this game. And
yeah, is it,
the first
is
person that, stuff made me give it to you because I was going to be sick if I tried.
Fucking
to play
yeah!
It.
Yeah, like it's an apt description of what the guy looks like, right?
Yeah, all the characters in this game are
everyone,
pretty. They're monsters, it looks like. And
speaking of all the yas, we just got a fucking yeah because Rootbeer just subbed for the 39th month. Thank you so much, Rootbeer. Always love having you here. Not sure why you continue to waste your money on us, but we love you and thank you for it. 39 months. That is crazy.
I mean, how else is Rootbeard going to tell me that I suck at video games?
Very true.
But yeah, and so you're wandering this like nuclear wasteland. And it's just, you're trying that's it. You're just wandering. And you're like going from like save point to save point. You're running into these animals or you're running into these, you know, other wasteland inhabitants. And you could try to sneak by them, but most of the time the game is really like, hey, you need to go beat the crap out of this. And then if you die, you actually come back at like nighttime as that like baby head skeleton thing that I was talking about. And then it's just like how in WoW, like you have, like if you die, you have to like go back and find your body and stuff like that.
Yeah.
The same thing happens in this game. And it, like, it really sucks because like when I died the first time, it was a really dumb death. Like I was beating the crap out of this animal. I was just about to like kill it. And then it sideswipes me and knocks me off the side of a cliff. And I was GG. Just like, oh, great. Yeah. And I'm just like, oh, good. How am I like gonna like get out of this one? But then thankfully, like it just puts your body on this one spot. And then there's a beacon for you to follow so you can get back to it. And yeah, it's just like you're just interacting. Like you're just interacting with everybody. And like you're collecting stuff so you can build more weapons. Like you're trying to gain more powers and like more moves and abilities and stuff like that. It's an odd game. Like, and that first person thing. So what ends up happening is that during fights, if like you're wailing on them enough, like you can build up this power and then you switch over into like first person perspective. And then you just keep beating the crap out of them. Like once you're able to do that, it's almost guaranteed that you're going to win the fight. But then they also introduce this like kind of like a battle system where you have to roll die and you have these totems which decide like what it's going to do, like what each of your like little totem things are going to like do to the other person or both of you. Like it could affect both parties. And then it's just like it affects the score of the die, and then whoever has the highest total, like your totem is the one that wins. I'm not going to lie, like I thought it was an interesting mechanic, but I really wasn't a fan of it. And honestly, like the game is just like, it's weird. Like, yeah, it's just a really odd game. I don't know who exactly the target market for this game is going to be, or just like what was going on in the dev's head with this one. And it's just, yeah, like it's not bad. Like it's weird. And I just don't know how I feel about it, but at the same time, crud, what was that arcade game? The laundromat arcade game that we played that I had to play a while back. I
forget
what
the heck Paradise. It's
called. Thank you. Arcade Paradise. I've got to like, cause initially I was like, I don't know. I think I only want to give this thing a try it, but I've got a feeling that if you stick with this game for a while, like it, you're going to be like, holy crap, this is like one of the best experiences I've ever had. Like this game's amazing, blah, 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 and so on. And it's just like, I don't want to sleep on this game like I did with Arcade Paradise at first, where Carnage and a couple others were like, oh no, like once you get past this point, you're golden and it's like the best thing ever. Cause I kind of have that feeling with this game too. Like there's a rich experience to be found here. It's just, you've got to put in the time and effort to dig for it.
Oh, well, it's $40. What's your official verdict?
I'm going to say buy it. Like, as I said, like, I've got a feeling that this is a game to not sleep on, and it's weird, but I think it's a game that, you know, those who play it are going to really appreciate it, and it's not one that you're going to want to miss out on. It's got some cool stuff going for it, so I think you should check it out.
Cool, sounds good. Like, good. Big Chick. Next game to talk about is Big Chick, developed by Maxim Nureyev, Vladimir Wolod Yakuboyevich, oh god, Alexander Foxley Rashibalov, and published by Pixel Point. I knew that one.
Yep.
Release March.
That's the hardest one.
Release March.
I actually knew the first name.
Did you?
Yeah, he also made Story Tale, Maxim Nureyev.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
The other names, though, man, well, I am bad at names. Released March 15th on Xbox One, Series X and S for $4.99. The islands are sinking. Chicken folk can't swim, and fox bandits won't miss an opportunity to gobble up a bird or two, even on the verge of apocalypse. What a disaster. Fortunately, Big Chick is here to save the day. Use poultry magic to summon new patches of land from the ocean depths and micromanagement skills to lead your people to the safety of the sacred big barn. Aki, tell us about your time with Big Chick.
Okay. This is a good, short, but semi, sometimes difficult game. At least if you're a perfectionist like me. In this, you play as a big chicken. Well, you're a chicken, but you're supposed to be a guy, which would make you a rooster, but you're not a fucking rooster. Problem with children's games. And
anyway,
yes, I know I'm pedantic. I know. Fuck you. Basically there's a bunch of either chickens or eggs on each map, and the eggs will eventually hatch, and they all want to go to this barn. Sometimes it's ducks, sometimes it's chickens. Chickens go on land, ducks go on water. Quack, quack, motherfuckers, or whatever. They automatically take the quickest path there, but once that path is set, it doesn't change. So some of the levels, you know, they have foxes walking around, and if the foxes touch any of the chicks die because the foxes eat the shit out of them. There's also pterodactyls for some fucking reason.
I mean, why wouldn't there be pterodactyls, really?
Fuck it, why not? And if they touch them, the chickens die. Those are the ones you really have to worry about. They're assholes, because they're big, and they'll wipe out an entire line of chickens if you're not careful. You can walk into the foxes and knock them out, and if you're near the chickens when the pterodactyl is around, they're suddenly invincible. There's also some other creatures that show up, like crocodiles replace the foxes for duck levels. They'll go through the water, and sometimes giant water worms or otherwise horrific giant land worms will pop out, and they'll also eat the chickens if the chickens are unlucky enough to be there. And you can knock both of those out as well. In it, you can walk around, and it creates land or gets rid of land. At first, it's this level requires more water on it, so you're deleting land, and in other levels, it needs more land, so you have it. But eventually, about halfway-ish through the game, it gives you the
ability to swap. Yay!
Exactly.
That's where shit picks up and gets complicated.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh,
I hate people. God, that was terrible. You should be ashamed of yourselves.
I'm glad you didn't chicken out on that joke.
I know. It is something to cluck about, isn't it?
I hate you both.
We're birds of a feather over here.
You've missed the opportunity to tell them how foul they are.
Oh, my God. Not you, too. No, Bree, no.
So, but, big chicks, $5. What do you think of it?
I barely think at this point, thanks to you people with those terrible puns. I think it's a decent little puzzle game. It's not super easy all the time because the chickens start moving once they have a pathway to home. So you do actually have to keep on top of it. So it's not just one of these real quick, super easy games. It is fairly quick, but you have to be halfway decent at it. So I think it's totally worth owning. I think it's a cute little game.
Yeah, I think it's an enjoyable one, especially for just $5. It's adorable. Yeah. I think the biggest missed opportunity they had was that there's only 10 achievements, and they could have went with 12 or a dozen.
No. Oh, soul.
All right, Aki, get your cursing out, because we're going to family-friendly mode for the end of the show.
Do I have any more fucking reviews?
No, you're done.
Okay, then fuck you people, I'm good. Fuck, fuck, fuckity, fuck, 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 fuck.
Final game to talk. Hey, she can't curse if she can't talk. Final game to talk about tonight. DC's Justice League Cosmic Chaos, developed by PHL Collective, published by Outright Games, released March 10th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $49.99. Suit up as Batman, Wonder Woman, and Superman, and take on some of the most powerful supervillains in the DC universe with DC's Justice League Cosmic Chaos. Jacob, tell us about your time with DC's Justice League Cosmic Chaos.
All right. So this is a game that's mostly aimed at older kids, like, you know, like 9 and up. however, adults can enjoy this too. It is a it's kind of like an action brawler, except with like little cute guys instead of like, you know, Mortal Kombat ish kind of characters. And you control either Batman, Superman, or Wonder Woman. And you can swap them out at any point in time during the game, which is pretty handy. Like when one person's running out of health, or like another person has a power up that's, you know, needed for a certain area. Like, I don't know, makes them withstand cold better or something like that. But anyways, Mr. Mitsapilic from the fifth dimension suddenly pops up in, oh shoot, I forgot what the name of this town is. Anyway, yeah, Happy Harbor. Thank you. So anyway,
I'm just glad you said his name and I didn't have to.
Oh, that, you know, the funny thing is that I've actually been pronouncing it as Mitsapilic for years. Like, so I didn't know that that was the actual like real I'm way glad to say you it.
Finally figured it out.
Well, I mean,
multiple ways to say it. I watched some history on that. It's actually changed the spelling over time by accident and stuck with the transposing of letters. And then multiple people across different like iterations of cartoons have changed pronunciation. So
okay, yeah. All right. So I actually like possibly wasn't too far off all these years.
Mm-hmm.
Bree's just like, sure, yeah, huh.
Yeah. But how long has he been voiced by Master Shake?
I know, and that's pretty awesome. I'm gonna get to that in a bit. So yeah. Well, also, whatever.
Mixie.
Yeah, as the game eventually just starts referring to him as. I mean, he's had like a pretty interesting actor and voice actor career. Howie Mandel, if I remember correctly, played him on The Adventures of Lois and Clark, like way back in the day. And then, he died recently. The guy who played Iago in Aladdin.
Mm.
He played him on Superman the Adventures.
Gilbert Gottfried.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Thank you. On the Adventures of Superman cartoon show. So now we have Master Shake playing him. So he comes into Happy Harbor and gets Starro to start reproducing a bunch of like the little starfish guys and taking over like a lot of the citizens, but also just, you know, just taking over the entire town. And the citizens are then now turning on the Justice League because Mixie's telling them, oh, this is all the Justice League's fault. And they're like, yeah, you know what? You're right. What has Batman done for us lately? And he's like, I just beat up all these things. Yeah, but you also caused like $100 million worth of damage. So
true.
So it's an open world brawler that you can just pretty much move freely throughout. Now, don't get me wrong, it's not too freely. I mean, you can go there and you're going to get the snot kicked out of you, but you could go there if you wanted to. And so what you have to do is that you just have to keep like doing missions, side quests, and just beating up random aliens and bad guys as they come across to level up your character. And then you go back to the Justice League's headquarters, which is in a mountain over in Happy Harbor. And then, and then you just update stuff. But you can also get collectibles, which I thought were a lot of fun because there are like side heroes who can help you out, like Cyborg and Green Lantern and Aquaman. But then there are these little items that you can pick up. Like you can get like Zatanna's playing cards. Or I was really hoping to see John Constantine's necktie, but if it's there, I haven't unlocked it yet or something like that. And so they get in a lot of the details, for that's going to keep all like the fanboys happy. And there's also, a lot of, different uniforms or outfits, costumes, as you want to call them, that you can unlock by collecting comic book pages throughout. Now these costumes I don't think they actually affect how gameplay is done, but I definitely tossed on like the Rainbow Batman
outfit. Yeah,
the absolutely. Best suit. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, the Batman of many colors. I was really surprised that they had the Wonder Woman from like that redesign where she had pants.
from like 10 years ago that throughout like the internet was just up in arms. Like, why can't we look at her gams anymore? I don't know. I liked the pants. I thought it was a nice redo. And I don't remember what Superman outfit I have him in, but anyway, yeah, there's a lot to do in this game. And, honestly, like my only complaint with it was, is that like, it is not easy to navigate that map. And like fast travel, like it kind of exists, but it's like, you have to get to the fast travel locations. It's not like you could just fast travel anywhere on the map and just be like, oh, I want to go here and then go off.
I mean, like, lots of open world games are like that, where they have fast travel points.
That's true. But like the world is also a little bit harder to navigate because you don't know the area. Like it's not like it's just like a map of like, here's where everything is. It's like, you have to figure out where you're actually able to go, because there will, like, you could be level 4. And if you wander literally across the road, you're going to have like a bunch of level 28 starfish, like knocking the crap out of you.
It's like MMO style zones.
Yeah. So that, you know, that could be frustrating for younger players, or older players like me. But you can switch up the difficulty, on the fly. And as far as I'm aware, it doesn't affect achievements. So for all the achievement hunters out there, you know, you can have that. But honestly, I'm having a lot of fun. The voice acting is great. I mean, come on.
Oh, writing's hilarious too.
You've got Mixie being voiced by Master Shake, but I really love the dynamic between Batman and Superman. Because my wife was telling me, I guess she was watching me play, they very much have the dynamic of the two of them between like the 1940s radio dramas that they used to do, and where Batman was like the world's smartest detective, and like, of course he's going to figure it out. And Superman is just like, he is dumb as a pile of bricks. Like, yeah. And like in this game, everyone's just like, you're really just getting by on life just by being really strong, don't you? And he's like, yep, that's it. But there is a ton of jokes that like kids aren't, I mean, and they're not like dirty jokes either, but it's just like, adults are going to get them, kids won't. And it's just really well done. Like, there was a ton of care put into this game.
Dare I say, this is one of, if not the best game from Outright to date.
Yes, I would. Mm-hmm. I would agree with that very much.
Yep.
It's a fantastic open world. The writing is great. The performances are great. It has some minor issues. I kind of wish the camera were you could mess with the angle a little bit. I feel that it's too much of an angle to it, but that's minor griping. The game is just solid all around, and it's a really good use of the license, and PHL Collective just nailed it with this one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this was really well done, and I'm hoping that they make more of the, like, that Warner Brothers is happy with this, and, you know, we'll get to see more of these type of games in the future, because this was really solid.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed this one.
The only other issue that some people have is the price. What do you think of it for $50? Is this a $50 game? I was kind of hoping it'd be like $40, but licensing is expensive.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I feel like it's probably $50 because you're paying for the DC license with it. But also, I mean, there's a lot of voice acting in this, and yep, they got some heavy hitters on it, and so that's probably where the cost went. I mean, when you compare like the voice acting to this and the quality of the game versus Paw Patrol and the quality of the voice acting in that game.
Yeah, I mean, come on, Superman is Nolan North.
Yeah, it's just, you know, for $50, I think this is worth it. Like, it, you know, normally we'd bulk at and be like, oh, why isn't it 40 like the rest of them? This one gets a pass, like, because of all the awesome stuff in it.
It's just really good.
Oh. It's solid.
Dieter Bader's an awesome Batman.
I think it has value, too, not just as a game targeted at younger audiences, kind of, you know, like was said earlier, that there, it's not just like the jokes can be more adult, but the references to old comic and cartoons from way early on and those different types of relationships, like you're saying, like the radio dramas. But there were some little quips that are things from stuff I remember reading in comics when I was a kid, or even just like Adam West Batman kind of era stuff that you're seeing in there, like really is an appeal for, as an adult. And I don't have children of my own, but like if I had children in my life to engage with, like that's, again, something you can use as a conversation piece, or if they're enjoying it more than I am, like at least it's something I can, you know, appreciate listening to the little things that they might not understand. Like there's a lot going on. And so like if you are buying this from a family perspective, that price is going to give you value for multiple people in the family potentially. So
especially with co-op, it's a
reasonable price with all that. Yeah, exactly.
Didn't even mention it has local co-op. No online, sadly, but you know, two people on the couch playing, father, son, two kids, two adults, me and
there's
Jacob.
A lot to enjoy regardless of your age. So yeah.
I have a feeling when Jacob visits, we're going to be playing this. All right, we are done. That is it for this episode. We made it through. Aki, keep it family friendly because we're going to wrap up the show with some nice family friendly music, something nice, calm, and relaxing from our good friend Viking Guitar.
What did I do to you? Why are you punishing me?
Oh, Jacob and Aki, thanks for being here, doing your usual thing. Bree, thanks for being here, hanging out with us, keeping us company, and being useful where Jacob fails.
And thanks for joining me for two of my reviews.
Thanks for letting me add comments.
Yes, we love having you on. You'll have to come back again soon. We got to get you a review again, so let me know what you're looking for, and maybe we could get you something. But does anyone have any final words to end the show?
Happy birthday.
Oh yeah, it'll be your birthday.
Happy 1 more year older and closer to death.
Mm-hmm.
Yay.